Your Bibles, please, to Ezekiel chapter 43. Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Afterward he brought me to the gate, even to the gate that looketh toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. And his voice was like the noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river Kebar, and I fell upon my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the east gate, whose prospect is toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. And I heard him speaking unto me out of the house, and the man stood by me. And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne, and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredom, nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places, in their setting of their thresholds, of their threshold by my thresholds, and their post by my posts, and the wall between me and them. They have even defiled my holy name by their abominations that they have committed. Wherefore, I have consumed them in mine anger. Now, let them put away their whoredom and the carcasses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them forever. Thou, son of man, show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house, and the fashion thereof, and the goings out thereof, and the comings in thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and all the forms thereof. Yeah, it does say forms twice. And all the laws thereof, and write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and do them. This is the law of the house. Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. And these are the measures of the altar after the cubits. The cubit is a cubit and a handbreadth. Even the bottom shall be a cubit, and the breadth a cubit, and the border thereof by the edge thereof round about shall be a span. And this shall be the higher place of the altar. And from the bottom upon the ground, even to the lower settle, shall be 2 cubits, and the breadth 1 cubit. And from the lesser settle, even to the greater settle, shall be 4 cubits, and the breadth 1 cubit. So the altar shall be 4 cubits. From the altar and upward shall be 4 horns. And the altar shall be 12 cubits long, 12 broad, square, in the 4 squares thereof. And the settle shall be 14 cubits long and 14 cubits broad in the 4 squares thereof, and the border about it shall be 1/2 cubit, and the bottom thereof shall be 1 cubit about, but and his stairs shall look toward the east. And he said unto me, Son of man, thus saith the Lord God, these are the ordinances of the altar in the day when they shall make it, to offer burnt offerings thereon, and to sprinkle blood thereon. And thou shalt give to the priests, the Levites, that be of the seed of Zadok, which approach unto me, to minister unto me, saith the Lord God, a young bullock for a sin offering. And thou shalt take of the blood thereof, and put it on the 4 horns of it, and on the 4 corners of the settle, and upon the border round about. Thus shalt thou cleanse and purge it. Thou shalt take the bullock also of the sin offering, and he shall burn it in the appointed place of the house without the sanctuary. And on the second day, thou shalt offer a kid of the goats without blemish for a sin offering, and they shall cleanse the altar as they did cleanse it with the bullock. When thou hast made an end of cleansing it, thou shalt offer a young bullock without blemish and a ram out of the flock without blemish, and thou shalt offer them before the Lord. And the priests shall cast salt upon them, and they shall offer them up for a burnt offering unto the Lord. 7 days shalt thou prepare every day a goat for a sin offering. They shall also prepare a young bullock and a ram out of the flock without blemish. 7 days shall they purge the altar and purify it, and they shall consecrate it themselves. And when these days are expired, it shall be that upon the 8th day, and so forward, the priests shall make your burnt offerings upon the altar and your peace offerings, and I will accept you, saith the Lord God. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. This is the chapter we've been waiting for. The glory returns. Notice that the glory returns from the east. We have already heard about the east gate. Now in chapter 44, we'll hear about it again, because there's a very special personage that enters in through the east gate. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, or as he's called in the prophecy here, the Prince. The east gate shall be for the Prince. And so we have the glory entering in through the east gate, and then the Prince coming in through the east gate. This is an obvious parallel, that the glory that belongs to the church is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is in him that the glory returns to the church. And I will simply remind you of what the Apostle Paul will say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, when he says that we, as the people of God, behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and are therefore, or thereby, transformed from glory to glory, even as by the Lord the Spirit. So, when we see the glory return here, I think that for the sake of the prophecy, for the sake of the vision, we want to make it clear that the glory returns. The glory had departed, and when it left in the beginning of the book, it left as a kind of standalone entity. So it would not do to have the glory return to say the Prince comes carrying the glory with him. Simply what we will have here is we'll have the east gate opened to none other but the Prince. In 43, the glory of God comes in through the east gate, and then in chapter 44, the Prince enters by the east gate. And so that tells us, I think, everything we need to know about the glory returning to the church in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's the beginning of the chapter. He fell upon his face when he saw that glory, the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. This should remind you of Leviticus chapter 9, when the glory of the Lord filled the house when it was first put into service by Moses. It should remind you of 1 Kings, I guess it's chapter 8, when the glory of the Lord filled the house that Solomon built. And now here the glory of the Lord fills the New Testament church as well. So these are evident parallels that at every stage of history the Lord has had his witness. And yet what happens here in Ezekiel 40 through 48 is that prophetic in the days of Messiah, full and eschatological view of the church, where she is filled with the glory of God yet again in the person of Christ. So that's what chapter 43 is about at the beginning of it here. All right, so then in verses 7 through 10, we have some difficulty. What would be the cause of that glory being departed out of the house before? Well, what happens is that the people of God sat their thresholds by God's threshold, and their pillars by his pillar. In other words, they developed a parallel religion to his instead of his religion. And that could not bear the glory, and so the glory departed. And so that's what's being said there. This is the place of my throne, the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. They shall, in the midst of the children forever, and my holy name, the house of Israel, shall no more defile they nor their kings, nor the carcasses of their kings, in setting their threshold by my thresholds, their posts by my posts, and the wall between me and them. They've defiled my holy name by their abominations, and so I consume them in my anger. Okay? It's interesting to note that when Paul will write to Timothy, he will say that the church is what? The pillar and ground of the truth. May I put it in Ezekiel 43 language? The threshold and post of the truth. Right? That we are indeed that pillar and ground. We are to affix and to uphold the truth to the watching world. Not to put our thresholds by his thresholds and our pillars by his pillars. We must be disabused of all man-centered, mankind religion. And we must bow the knee because the glory of God has come back to his temple. Okay, so remember also that when the people of God do, even in the New Testament, put their thresholds by his thresholds, what does Jesus say to the churches in Revelation? I'll come and snuff out that glory. I'll come and put out that candle. That glory will be darkened. It will be snuffed out. Okay, so all of that is true. And these are wonderful biblical parallels that run right through the entirety of the Scriptures. So then, what is the remedy for that? What is the remedy to keep the people of God from putting their thresholds by his thresholds and their posts by his posts? Exactly what the Lord will tell Ezekiel in 10, 11, and 12. Do it after the pattern. Do it after the pattern. Don't intrude your own stuff into my house. Listen to what he says. If they be ashamed of all that they've done, show them the form of the house and the fashion thereof and the goings thereof and the comings thereof and the forms thereof, ordinance thereof, forms thereof, all the laws thereof. Write it in their sight that they may keep the whole form thereof and all the ordinance thereof and do them. This is the law of the house. Very adamant there as to how we keep the glory in the house. How do we keep it there? By doing all things according to the pattern. That's it. Very simply. And this is spoken of prophetically of the days of the New Testament church. All right, so now we have another appurtenance, another piece of furniture, and it is the altar of sacrifice, here now vested with a new kind of size and form and architecture. And of course, it is not a literal altar in the sense that they had in the Old Testament is given under the forms that the people of God of that day would have understood. There are those consecrating sacrifices that put the new temple into service. Well, that's exactly what Jesus' death was. That's the consecrating sacrifice. Remember that he entered not into the places made with hands, but heaven itself there to appear with his own blood and so on. To usher in that New Testament estate of the church. And that's what's being spoken of here. Remember what the apostle will say in Hebrews chapter 13. We have an altar whereby they have no right to serve who have served in the temple. That altar is a heavenly altar. That sacrifice is the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who continue to serve at that temple that was raised up in that day, they have no right to serve at that altar. Right? So let's not say that, well, this is an altar. It can't be New Testament. No, we do have an altar. Again, it is a spiritualized understanding, but a realized understanding nonetheless. It is, like our larger catechism says, spiritually, mystically, but really. Just because it's spiritual doesn't mean it's not real. Doesn't mean it's not true. Okay, so that takes us down through verse 17, then 18 through 25 is the offering of those offerings. And then verse 27, where the chapter ends. And when these days are expired, it shall be that upon the eighth day and so forward, the priests shall make your burnt offerings upon the altar and your peace offerings, and I will accept you, saith the Lord God. William Greenhill, Wilhelm Ernst Hengstenberg, and Thomas Shepard, the American Puritan, all three of them look at this eighth day here, and they say, well, you know what that is. So there were 7 days of the old economy. Our Lord Jesus Christ came and is pictured in these sacrifices here of putting this new temple into service. And then on the eighth day, that is the first day of the week Sabbath, from then and forward, those priests shall come and give their offerings. So with that in mind, let's read that again, just so that comes home perhaps a little more fully. And when these days are expired, that is the 7 days of offering, it shall be that upon the eighth day and so forward, the priests shall make your burnt offerings upon the altar and your peace offerings, and I will accept you, saith the Lord God. And they see that as prophetic of the change of the day of worship, from the seventh day of the week to the first day of the week, here called the eighth day. Thus ends the reading then of Ezekiel chapter 43.